Penguin Random House Audio presents Love Unknown, The Life and Words of Elizabeth Bishop by Thomas Travisano, read for you by Bronson Pinchot. For Elsa, as ever, and for my friends and colleagues in the Elizabeth Bishop Society. Truly, friend, for aught I hear, your master shows to you more favor than you wot of. Mark the end. The font did only, what was old, renew. The cauldron suppled what was grown too hard. The thorns did quicken what was grown too dull. All did but strive to mend what you had marred. Wherefore, be cheered, and praise him to the full each day, each hour, each moment of the week, who fain would have you be new, tender, quick. The Temple, 1633, from George Herbert's Love Unknown. Prologue. Elizabeth Bishop's life is a great story. It is the story of a young girl who lost her father to Bright's disease when she was 8 months old, and lost her mother to an incurable mental breakdown when she was 5. It is the story of a woman who struggled with shyness and self-doubt, with alcoholism and severe and lasting autoimmune disorders, with barriers imposed by gender and, as Adrienne Rich noted, with the eye of the outsider imposed by her lesbian sexuality. It is, at its core, the story of how a young girl who had grown up orphaned, abused, and isolated made herself, with determined effort, into a world traveler and into the creator of unforgettable poems. Within this great story lies an intricate web of smaller stories. Stories about Bishop's relationships with celebrated writers, artists, and composers, and with many lesser-known friends and lovers across the globe. Exploring Bishop's network of relationships with literati, glitterati, visual artists and musicians, locals, travelers, students, scholars, medicos, and politicos, along with an international gay underground then nearly invisible to the dominant culture, brings to life the varied mid-20th century worlds on the three continents through which she moved. Bishop began writing self-exploratory letters that were vivid, funny, and sophisticated by the age of 14. Her later verse, prose, and letters depict her early experience, starting at the age of 3, with extraordinary clarity. Family records, too, paint a remarkably lucid picture of Bishop's life before the age of 3. Even if Bishop had not become a world-renowned poet, her life history would be worth exploring because it offers such a portrait of a distinctive human individual's lifelong struggle against adversity. But Bishop did make herself into an author of true greatness, and the record she left behind offers a compelling account of how a unique creative artist was first born and then made. In her self-deprecatory way, Bishop often maintained in interviews that the pattern of her life was the result of a series of sheer accidents. But her precocious adolescent writings make it crystal clear that from her middle teens she was already sketching out a life plan prioritizing travel, love, friendship, independence, observation, and the making of poetry. From adolescence onward, Elizabeth Bishop kept to the basic outlines of her plan, and as a writer and a person, she made the most of it. The Elizabeth Bishop who has emerged for me, after 40 years of engagement with her life and art, was a quietly determined individualist whose actions and choices were marked by a consistent willingness to accept risk, flavored by a keen eye for detail and a dry and distinctly wicked sense of humor. Bishop was a woman who struggled persistently against physical and emotional liabilities that might have disabled others. Yet she made a life that, for all its imperfections, was marked by wit, energy, courage, dedication, and lasting artistic achievement. As her friend and protege James Merrill observed, it was du côté de chez Elizabeth that I saw the daily life that took my fancy, with its kind of random Chekhovian surface open to trivia and funny surprises, or even painful ones, today a fit of weeping, tomorrow a picnic. For Merrill, Elizabeth had more talent for life and for poetry than anyone else I've known, and this has served me as an ideal. One of the most famous recurring images in Bishop's writing is the rainbow. As she certainly viewed life in its full spectrum, her openness to all kinds of experience, be it perplexing, bitter, funny, or invigorating, remains one of the chief attractions of her life and art. These characteristics also account, at least in part, for Bishop's profound and ongoing influence over her fellow writers and her steadily growing attractiveness to readers. It has become an axiom among critics that Bishop's lifelong dedication to travel was determined in large measure by a search for home. Yet travel was not simply a search for security or shelter. It was also a search for adventure, risk, and discovery, a search for friendship and lasting love, a search for artistic material, and, perhaps most important, a quest for freedom that found its basis in a childhood marked by loss, isolation, and constraint. The art of losing, Bishop ruefully celebrated with such poignant irony in perhaps her most famous poem, One Art, was linked in equal part to a life and art of finding, an art demanding the sort of encounter, appraisal, and understated epiphany that appears in such abundance throughout her work. Bishop's uncanny knack for balancing depth and lightness in a completely natural and engaging manner helps her readers to see the world in new ways. As Merrill observed shortly after her death in 1979, "I like the way her whole oeuvre is on the scale of a human life. There is no oracular amplification. She doesn't go about on stilts to make her vision wider. She doesn't need that. She's wise and humane enough as it is." Yet her quality of lightness and the consistently human scale of her poetry did not preclude profundity. As another friend and protege, Frank Bidart, observed 15 years after her death, "Bishop's life, idiosyncratic, seemingly marginal, was exemplary. Her masked but intense refusal to be anything but herself reveals like an X-ray the contradictions and pleasures of 20th century culture. The tragedies at the root of her life were at the root of the mastery achieved by her art." This unique combination of qualities, once undervalued but now widely appreciated, prompted David Orr to declare in the New York Times Book Review in 2006 that nothing matches the impact of a great artist, and in the second half of the 20th century, no American artist in any medium was greater than Elizabeth Bishop. As Mae Swenson wrote in an ecstatic letter of praise that offered the first detailed reading of Bishop's 1955 poems, a book that would later win a Pulitzer Prize, "Not to need illusion, to dare to see and say how things really are, is the emancipation I would like to attain, as you have. But I guess you don't need to try. You just do see that way, being you." This biography hopes to show Bishop's life and art as a persistent, intricate, and ultimately successful struggle of speech against silence, a struggle in which her work remains persevering and curiously buoyant even as it grows out of and confronts isolation, suffering, and loss. Many of her most elusive or enigmatic poems can begin to seem almost transparent when biographical insights are sensitively applied, and her poems' magic only heightens as we witness the struggles out of which her work emerged, struggles that she distilled and transformed through the peculiar alchemy of her art. And at the core of her greatness as an artist lies her unparalleled recreation of her experience as a child. Chapter 1. Between Two Worlds.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?